Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. We will begin on the front page with an article entitled Path to Reopen, Pritzker Unveils Regional Approach to COVID-19 Recovery. Governor J.B. Pritzker unveiled a plan Tuesday for the gradual reopening of the state's economy on a region-by-region basis, but he suggested it could take several months or even a year before the state fully reopens. Until we have a vaccine or an effective treatment, or enough widespread immunity that new cases fail to materialize, the option of returning to normalcy doesn't exist, Pritzker said during his daily briefing in Chicago. That means we have to learn how to live with COVID-19 until it can be vanquished. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 2,122 new cases of COVID-19 and 176 additional virus-related deaths over the previous 24 hours. That represented a sharp increase in daily deaths compared to Monday, when only 46 deaths were announced. There were 13,139 test results reported during that span. That brings the statewide total to 65,962 confirmed cases and 2,838 virus-related deaths. The disease has been reported in 97 of Illinois' 102 counties. Pritzker outlined the Restore Illinois plan that divides the state into four regions and lays out the criteria for each one to move through five stages of reopening. The four regions are drawn around the Illinois Department of Public Health's emergency medical service regions. They include a northeast region, primarily Chicago and its surrounding suburbs, a north central region, a central region, and a southern region. The first phase, known as the rapid spread, is what all of Illinois was in from mid-March through the end of April. During that phase, a strict stay-at-home order and social distancing guidelines are put in place, and only essential businesses remain open. Beginning May 1st, all of Illinois moved into the second phase, flattening, in which the rate of infection among those tested and the number of patients admitted to hospitals and ICU beds increases at a slower rate. Illinoisans are directed to wear face coverings when outside the home and limited outdoor activities like golf, boating, and fishing are allowed while observing social distancing guidelines. Once a region's infection rates and hospitalization usage begin to stabilize or decline, it can enter the third phase, recovery, in which face coverings and social distancing will still be the norm. But manufacturing, offices, retail, barbershops, and salons may reopen to the public, provided they comply with capacity limits and other safety precautions mandated by the Illinois Department of Public Health. People will also be allowed to gather in public in groups of 10 or fewer. Once a region reaches the point when 20% or fewer of people tested are positive for the disease, and the hospitalization rate remains stable or declines over a period of 28 days, it can enter the fourth phase, revitalization, in which public gatherings of up to 50 people are allowed, bars and restaurants reopen, travel resumes, and childcare and schools can reopen under guidance from the Illinois Department of Public Health. But face coverings and social distancing will remain the norm during that phase. The earliest that could happen for any region would be May 29th, Prisker said. To be cleared for that phase, regions also must demonstrate that testing is available for anyone, regardless of symptoms or risk factors, and that contact tracing can be completed within 24 hours on at least 90% of patients who test positive. The final phase, Illinois Restored, will occur only when a vaccine or highly effective treatment is widely available, or there are no new cases reported over a sustained period. Only at that point will a region's economy fully reopen, including public festivals and large gatherings, businesses and schools, although safety precautions will continue, Pritzker said. It brings me no joy to say this, but based on what the experts tell us and everything we know about the virus and how easily it spreads in a crowd, large conventions, festivals, and other major events will be on hold until we reach Phase 5, Pritzker said. Pritzker also said the General Assembly might begin meeting before the end of May to address a handful of critical issues, including the state budget. This is a big state, and representatives come from all over the state, hours away, so it may be very difficult to do a lot during the month of May, and certainly while we're in a stay-at-home order and need to remain in this order, he said. According to the latest revenue reports, lawmakers might have a bigger budget hole to fill when they return than was initially feared. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, or COGFA, reported that base revenues in April came in $2.6 billion lower than the same month last year, largely because the state pushed their income tax filing deadline from April 15th to July 15th. The commission also reported that total revenues so far this year are now $1 billion below last year's level, with 2 months remaining in the fiscal year. In mid-April, Pritzker said Illinois would likely come up $2.7 billion short in the current fiscal year and $6.2 billion short in the fiscal year that will begin July 1st. Those were based on estimates from the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, which works closely with the Commission. But the Commission said it will be recalibrating its estimates over the coming days. Asked when he plans to release concrete details of the budget adjustments, Pritzker said he is working with members of the General Assembly. I know they have plans, thinking about getting together in May, and so my hope is that we'll be able to work together on a budget for the year, he said. This is clearly the most unusual budget that anybody will have ever seen, because who has ever seen, at least in our lifetimes, the drop-off of revenue because of a pandemic? And so there's no doubt there's going to have to be a lot of collaboration, even across the aisle, to get things done. And here again are the phases. Phase 1, rapid spread. Strict stay-at-home and social distancing guidelines are put in place, and only essential businesses remain open. Every region in the state has experienced this phase once already and could return to it if mitigation efforts are unsuccessful. Phase 2, flattening. Non-essential retail stores reopen for curbside pickup and delivery. Illinoisans are directed to wear a face covering when outside the home and can begin enjoying additional outdoor activities like golf, boating, and fishing while practicing social distancing. Phase 3, recovery. Manufacturing, offices, retail, barbershops, and salons can reopen to the public with capacity and other limits and safety precautions. Gatherings of 10 or fewer people are allowed. Face coverings and social distancing are the norm. Phase 4, revitalization. Gatherings of 50 people or fewer are allowed. Restaurants and bars reopen. Travel resumes. Childcare and schools reopen under state public health guidance. Face coverings and social distancing are the norm. Phase 5, Illinois restored. The economy fully reopens with safety precautions continuing. Conventions, festivals, and large events are permitted. All businesses, schools, and places of recreation can open with new safety guidance and procedures. The Bloomington Normal leaders cautiously endorse plan. Local leaders expressed cautious optimism Tuesday with the new state plan designed to slowly reopen regions of the state based on COVID-19 infection rates and available hospital beds. Governor J.B. Pritzker explained the evolving plan during his daily news conference in Chicago. Restore Illinois was unveiled after days of complaints from some members of the public who say counties with lower infection rates should have a chance to reopen businesses and inch towards a return to normalcy. I think it's a very wise approach because there's not a one-size-fits-all for a state that's as large and diverse as Illinois, said Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. We need to restart our economy and get back to normal as soon as we can. Patrick Hoban, CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, is glad the governor's plan is regional and thinks central Illinois could move forward more quickly than other areas. This approach, the data-driven approach, is a good strategy and good news for central Illinois, Hoban said. Just the fact that it's broken down by region, it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all for the state of Illinois. That's why it's good news for us, because our population density is so much less than, say, Chicago, so the same rules should not apply. So really, the better that we do, and the sooner our rates of infection start to decline, we can, in theory, open up quicker than any other areas of the state. The only worry Renner has is making sure the phased approach isn't a deterrent to public health and that local hospitals have the appropriate number of beds available. There's always a balance between protecting public safety and issuing regulations that you really would not normally issue unless there was a crisis, he said. Chris Manson, Vice President of Government Relations with OSF Healthcare, was reassured by the governor's plan. OSF Healthcare is happy to see the governor identify a path forward for Illinois residents as we continue to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic, Manson said. As a provider of healthcare in communities throughout Illinois, we understand the complexity and challenges faced. A phased approach to restoring normalcy makes sense and provides the flexibility we need to deal with this challenge. Jessica McKnight, administrator of the McLean County Health Department, said the McLean County Health Department is still learning about the governor's Restore Illinois plan, and we are looking to the Illinois Department of Public Health for guidance on what our role as local public health will be in the implementation. Renner acknowledged concern with people traveling between regions that may open sooner, but said aggressive enforcement is not on Bloomington's radar. Our goal is not to be heavy-handed about enforcement, said Renner. It's just to remind people of the dangers, the situation, the ordinance, and ask them for voluntary compliance, and that almost always works. Normal Mayor Chris Coos declined to comment on the phased plan. This should be well received, said Paul Scowron, CEO of Warner Hospital and Health Services in Clinton. There is a structure with dates between phases that can be estimated. The plan includes incentives that can be achieved by demonstrating continual improvements in statistics. And it is a regional approach, so that all of Illinois no longer feels tethered to the Chicago region. Consumer confidence will determine how quickly businesses in the Bloomington-Normal area bounce back from the hit they took from the statewide efforts to flatten the curve, Hoban said. If we, our community, feel comfortable going out and getting back to normal and knowing that we're all abiding by best practices, I think that's what's going to boost that confidence and get things back to normal sooner, he said. Adding, the goal is still to maintain social distance guidelines through the next phases of Restore Illinois. Manson said OSF's Pandemic Health Worker Program, which can be accessed by calling 833-OSF-KNOW, is available without charge for anyone showing COVID-19 symptoms and is a great way to access COVID-related services as we work towards restoring Illinois. Today's Flick Fact question. You don't often think about the sex of trees, but cities do. As an example, which of the following trees is by law not allowed in Bloomington? A male white oak, a female box elder, or a female poplar? And the answer is the female box elder, because they attract box elder bugs. Today in history, today is Wednesday, May 6th. It's the 127th day of 2020, and we have 239 days left in this year. On May 6th, 1915, Babe Ruth hit his first major league home run as a player for the Boston Red Sox. On this date in 1863, the Civil War Battle of Chancellorsville in Virginia ended with a Confederate victory over Union forces. In 1882, President Chester Alan Arthur signed the Chinese Exclusion Act, which barred Chinese immigrants from the U.S. for 10 years. Arthur had opposed an earlier version with a 20-year ban. In 1910, Britain's Edwardian era ended with the death of King Edward VII. He was succeeded by George V. In 1935, the Works Progress Administration began operating under an executive order signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. In 1937, the hydrogen-filled German airship Hindenburg caught fire and crashed while attempting to dock at Lakehurst, New Jersey. 35 of the 97 people on board were killed, along with a crewman on the ground. In 1941, Joseph Stalin assumed the Soviet premiership, replacing Molotov. Comedian Bob Hope did his first USO show before an audience of servicemen as he broadcast his radio program from March Field in Riverside, California. In 1942, during World War II, some 15,000 American and Filipino troops on Corregidor Island surrendered to Japanese forces. And in 1954, medical student Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile during a track meet in Oxford, England. He ran it in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. And a thought for today from Richard Whately, an English clergyman who lived from 1787 to 1863. To know your ruling passion, examine your castles in the air. and how time flies locally from the pages of the Pantograph 100 years ago, May 6, 1920. Work has begun on landscaping at the new County TB Sanatorium on North Main Street in Normal. There's an ambitious plan, but it has a catch. The county can't afford all the trees and shrubs. The public is asked to donate its surplus shrubs and flowers to the cause. 75 years ago, on May 6, 1945, two veteran cops will celebrate 20 years at Bloomington Police Department, Sergeants Walter Lockenwitz and Sig Moline joined the force on May 7, 1925. Lockenwitz claims seniority because he started 7 hours earlier than Moline. Both will have their day off. 50 years ago, on May 6, 1970, student unrest is growing across the county and in Illinois. At ISU, more than 650 students marched to Fairview Park for a memorial service for the four students killed at Kent State. There was minor violence, and some reported at Northwestern and also at the U of I. And 25 years ago on May 6, 1995, "Watch out for your trees," the city warned. "Beavers are at work. The little critters have damaged several trees around Ewing Park. The city will try to trap and relocate the beavers, but issued the warning to Parkside Drive residents living along the creek." Gun law allows masks. Wearing a mask with a gun in your waistband won't be enough to bring charges in McLean County as long as the rest of the rules are followed. When Governor J.B. Pritzker added masks as a requirement for Illinoisans going out in public, law enforcement and state's attorneys were left to decide how to enforce the law that prohibits those with concealed carry licenses from concealing their identities. McLean County Sheriff John Sandage said it seems the governor didn't think of the implications the mask requirement would have on concealed carry holders who typically could be charged with a Class 4 felony for concealing their identity. "Our stance is if you're a legal concealed carry holder and you are following all of the rules that apply with that, you have nothing to worry about," he said. "It's only when you step outside of those rules that you could have the chance of being charged with being masked as well." Since the executive order was announced April 23rd, the McLean County Sheriff's Department has set its own guidelines with guidance from the state's attorney's office to handle the masks during the coronavirus pandemic. "For wearing a mask and concealing a weapon to be a crime, we have to show that it's the intent of the person to conceal their identity," said McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp. "It's not just the mere act of wearing a mask and the mere act of concealing a weapon. It's concealing a weapon while you're attempting to conceal your identity." Knapp said not all masks are equal, so law-abiding citizens that are legally entitled to carry, that are putting on masks for health reasons, are not attempting to conceal their identity and therefore are not breaking the law. As long as they're following the law as it applies to concealed carry and they're not using a firearm for an illegal means, I don't believe they have anything to worry about, Sandage said. Second LaSalle County resident dies of virus. A second LaSalle County resident has died of COVID-19, and two more McLean County residents have tested positive for the coronavirus. The LaSalle County resident was a woman in her 80s who had tested positive for COVID-19 earlier, that county's health department said on Tuesday. The McLean County Health Department reported Tuesday that the addition of two more county residents testing positive for coronavirus brought to 104 the number of people from McLean County who have had confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus since March 19th. The two cases were two women, one in her 50s and one in her 20s, both isolating at home, said Dion McNeil, McLean County Communications Specialist. Of the 104, three are hospitalized, 13 are at home in isolation, and 85 have recovered, the health department reported. Three McLean County residents died earlier this spring. The LaSalle County Health Department confirmed that two more people had tested positive for COVID-19 in that county, bringing the total number of cases there to 71. The two new cases involve a man in his 60s and a woman in her 70s who are both in isolation. 41 of the 71 people diagnosed in LaSalle County have recovered. Regarding the death, LaSalle County Health Department Administrator Julie Carestis said, "We are deeply saddened to hear of the additional loss of one of our LaSalle County residents to this illness. Our hearts go out to the family and friends who are mourning the loss of their loved one, and we send our sincerest condolences." Macon County's Joint Crisis Communication Team reported that county's 14th COVID-19 fatality, a woman in her 70s who was a resident of Fairhaven's long-term care facility in Decatur. Macon County has had 127 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health announced 2,122 new cases of coronavirus and 176 additional deaths on Tuesday, including three deaths in Sangamon County, women in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Since COVID-19 hit Illinois, there have been 65,962 confirmed cases, and 2,838 people have died. Meanwhile, at the COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, 98 more people were tested on Monday, Illinois Department of Public Health told the Pantograph. That brings to 3,804 the number of Illinois residents who have been tested since that site opened on March 28th. Drive-in set to reopen. The Harvest Moon Twin Drive-In Theater in Gibson City plans to reopen this weekend at half capacity, with several restrictions in place, including a requirement that people stay in their vehicles. Sitting outside is not going to be an option, and no one will be allowed in the back of a pickup truck. Patrons will be allowed to leave their cars only to use the bathroom or get food at the concession stand. They will be required to wear masks or face coverings when at the bathroom or food stand and will have to stay 6 feet apart. The theater has scheduled Trolls World Tour and Onward on separate screens for its opening weekend. There will be no double features to start. Because people have to stay in their cars, grilling will not be allowed. Hopefully by June or July, that can be brought back. Only about half the drive-in's parking spaces will be available. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for May 6th, 2020. Please stay tuned.